added stress caring for someone with Alzheimer's? You're not alone. Hi, everyone. I'm Kathy Wyatt Poholsky. Welcome to The Art of Aging, a 20-minute podcast to encourage independence and peace of mind by informing, educating, and celebrating you. A conversation with Lakeland Hogan in just 30 seconds. First, your AOA tip of the day. Is your loved one moving back home after a fall and rehab? Are you concerned that he or she may still be at risk? Consider talking with their physician about adding home health to the care team. Individuals who can help with ADLs or activities of daily living during the time of transition. That extra expense in the short term could mean greater independence for them and peace of mind for you in the long run. Now back to our topic, dementia care during COVID-19. Joining me to talk more about it is Lakeland Hogan. Lakeland is a gerontologist and caregiver advocate at the global headquarters for Home Instead. Welcome.
Thank you so much, Kathy, for having me. It's so good to see you.
You bet. You too, Lakeland. Thank you. All right, let's start by defining dementia.
Yes, so dementia is memory loss that is severe enough to impact daily life. So we all kind of forget things from time to time, you know, where we put our keys, somebody's name, but eventually we're able to recall that information. But someone living with dementia, they're likely never going to recall that kind of information. And it also can impact, you know, language and also problem-solving abilities and critical thinking skills. And again, it's to a point where it's severe enough to impact daily life. That's when we know that there's maybe issues with cognition and the need for further evaluation.
Okay. How many types of dementia are there, Lakeland?
There are actually many types of dementia, and this is a term that sometimes gets confused with Alzheimer's because Alzheimer's is a type of dementia. So when I'm talking with family caregivers, I like to describe it dementia as an umbrella, and then all the different types fall underneath. So the most common is Alzheimer's disease, but we also know there's frontal temporal dementia, vascular dementia, Lewy body, and some people can have multiple kinds of dementia. We call that mixed dementia.
Okay, and all of those, of course, play out differently, which impacts the caregiver. Talk about that.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a saying in our industry, if you've met one person with dementia, you've met one person. Because the way that dementia progresses, it is a progressive disease, meaning it does get worse generally over time. The way it impacts the brain can be a little bit different for everyone. But we do see some kind of hallmark symptoms of the various types of dementia. So for Alzheimer's disease, again, that it impacts memory. So if you think about, you know, if your loved one always was a great cook and could recite recipes from memory, but can no longer do that, it's because that part of the brain is really deteriorating. If you think about frontal temporal dementia, it's really impacting the front part of the brain, which is important for critical thinking and judgment. So a lot of times we see issues in finances for those dealing with frontal temporal cognitive impairment. They might overspend or maybe they aren't balancing their checkbook because, again, that sometimes takes some critical thinking, or they're making kind of rash decisions that they wouldn't normally make because, again, their judgment's impaired. And then our vascular dementia, you know, that's where the blood cells of the brain are impacted. And so there are some similar symptoms to the other types of dementia for that. And then when you think about Lewy body dementia, oftentimes an individual might have Lewy body and Parkinson's disease. So sometimes you'll see some of those tremors and that sort of thing as a symptom, but also hallucinations are very common with frontal temporal dementia. So caregivers, depending on how their loved one is progressing through the disease, depending on what dementia-related behaviors they're experiencing, that's going to impact the amount of care and support that the individual needs. And generally, you know, that care need increases over time.
Yeah. Who are these caregivers, Lakeland? They play such an important role. Put a face to the men and women that we're talking about.
Yeah, so we know that there's 5.8 million people living with Alzheimer's or another type of dementia, and there's over 16 million caring for them. And oftentimes we see, you know, an adult daughter kind of step up as that primary caregiver, but we are seeing more males coming into that caregiving role. We know that two-thirds of people living with dementia are living in their own homes. So caregivers, a lot of times, maybe they're living with the care recipient, the individual living with dementia, or perhaps that person's still living independently and they're coming over to check on them regularly. And all sorts of things are going through their mind. You know, is my loved one safe? Do they need care, support? How can I best support them? But also, a lot of these caregivers are juggling their own work or their own families at the same time. So we often see them just pulled in all these different directions, and it can be a very stressful role.
And add to that COVID-19.
Yeah.
And we have made things that much more challenging. Tell us about Us Against Alzheimer's.
Us Against Alzheimer's is such a wonderful organization. Home Instead has been a proud partner of theirs for many years, and they're really their main purpose is advocacy. They started at a little bit of a grassroots level, but really are advocating for more research dollars to be put towards Alzheimer's disease. They're on Capitol Hill on a daily basis, advocating for supports, for more research dollars. And they also have just some really great initiatives where they're diving deeper into understanding the needs of these caregivers that are supporting individuals living with dementia.
Okay. Now, earlier this year, they shared a summary from a survey which showed just how bad things are getting. Give us some examples.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think just like all of us, COVID has kind of flipped things upside down in many different ways. And for family caregivers, often for many of them, the support services that they so long relied on have been interrupted. Maybe their loved one was getting Meals on Wheels and maybe it temporarily stopped. I think most of those programs are back up and running in a modified, safe way. But that type of support, a lot of adult day centers closed, some of them permanently, or they've kind of shifted how they deliver services. And also, you know, again, for those working family caregivers, they're starting to work from home. They're also maybe homeschooling their children and trying to care for their loved one living with dementia. And it can be challenging to, you know, balance all of those things. So in this study or this report that Us Against Alzheimer's released, they talked about, you know, caregivers are having higher levels of stress, which is kind of expected, I would imagine, during this time. We're all feeling that a little bit. But they're having more issues with sleep, concentrating. They're a little more irritable and angry, they've reported. And they're having trouble staying positive during this time. And so, you know, those are really concerning findings. But also, I think what is interesting is the isolation that they're feeling. Because maybe they were going to a support group regularly, and maybe that's no longer meeting in person. Maybe it's transitioned to online, but maybe it's not quite the same. So they're kind of feeling like we're having to quarantine or stay in the home more. We're not able to get out and about and socialize as much. And so that's really impacting not only the person living with dementia, but also the caregiver.
Yeah, I was going to say isolation all the way around, regardless of who you are. I wanted to go into this survey a little bit more. It also addressed respondents whose loved ones, when we talk about this isolation, are in assisted living communities. Mm-hmm. What are the top concerns right now with COVID-19?
Well, yeah, that study reported 8 out of 10 could not see their loved one in a care community. And we know with dementia, someone can change day to day. You know, they might not be able to also understand what the pandemic means. So they might feel, well, why isn't my loved one coming to see me? Or if they do, why do I have to communicate through the window? Why can't I just see them in person and give them a hug? And so some of the main concerns is really just keeping up to date on their loved one's health status. So many family caregivers regularly go to visit their loved one because care communities serve such a great purpose, but so many family caregivers want to be there on a regular basis just to make sure that their loved one's well cared for, and they continue to advocate for their loved one. And so they're not able to do that in the same way that they once did. So they're worried about, you know, is my loved one getting enough care? And also just the progression of the disease. I know this wasn't in that report, but I've just talked anecdotally with some dementia family caregivers, and they've seen more decline in their loved ones. Perhaps it's because they're not getting as much stimulation, they're not getting out and about as much, they're not going to adult day centers where they're getting that activity throughout the day. And so they're really seeing a decline, and that's hard to deal with, you know, when there's not a pandemic impacting a caregiver. So those are just some of the many concerns that those caregivers are facing.
And despite those concerns, I understand that just 15% said they were concerned enough to remove their loved one from a community. Why do you suppose that is?
Well, I think it's definitely a concern to not be able to go in and regularly visit. So I think some families are thinking, well, maybe if we bring them home, the family rallies around, we can provide that care and support. But at the same time, moving an individual living with dementia can have a lot of, I don't want to say consequences, but kind of some adverse effects. It can be very confusing. So I can only imagine how challenging of a decision that would be for a family caregiver. But the family does need to consider what's best for the individual and for the family. If bringing that person home is going to be peace of mind for the caregiver and they have that support, whether it's family or home care comes in and helps support, then great. But if that individual comes home and the family's not equipped to provide adequate care, that could do more harm than good. So I can see how families are wrestling with this question and why so many have considered it. But maybe at the same time, they think maybe my loved one's better off staying put where they are.
Okay. All right. Months after the survey, what are you guys seeing now?
You know, of course, COVID is still very prevalent. We're hoping and praying for that vaccine to roll out quickly and swiftly, but we're all having to adjust to a new reality. We know caregivers are still experiencing a lot of challenges, but we're seeing support services get really creative. We see these senior centers trying to find ways to connect in various capacities, maybe whether it's online or when the weather was nicer, some of them were doing, you know, outdoor activities. You know, we're finding kind of our new normal. We're finding ways, you know, in home care, we're following, of course, the precautions set forth by the CDC and finding ways to still engage with those living with dementia and keep them safe at home. And communities are getting creative, especially going into these winter months, on how they can help their residents best connect with their families. And at the holiday time, that's especially important.
Might be a good time for you to tell us a little bit about Home Instead.
Oh, I'd be happy to. So Home Instead, we are an in-home care provider. We started in Omaha in 1994. Actually, in my grandma's living room, my parents started Home Instead. And since we've grown to an international organization, we're in 14 countries. We have over 1,100 franchise offices. But in the Omaha metro area, we cover that whole area with several offices, and we provide support to individuals, whether it's that activities of daily living that you talked about earlier. Maybe it's transportation, meal preparation, medication management. And we also specialize in Alzheimer's and dementia care, and can even support someone through end of life as they're going through hospice and utilizing those services. So it really is a great option for those if they're living at home or even in a community care setting. We can come in and supplement that care. But our goal is really to just help people remain safe and independent in their homes for as long as that's possible.
You know, it's interesting, Lakeland, you talk about where you guys are and the journey that you've had, which is amazing. And yet there are still so many people out there who either don't know about home care or they don't really understand it. For somebody sitting in front of you saying, what am I missing here, Lakeland? What would you tell them? What is that piece that maybe would help them, I think, understand what's going on in the world of home care a little bit better?
Yeah, well, I mean, really, if you think about it, everyone wants to stay home as they age. No one is saying, yes, move me to a nursing home. I don't think I've ever really heard anyone volunteer for that option. So if you're thinking about your loved one and their wishes and their desire to stay at home, safety is, of course, a concern. But there's also, you know, other supports that are seem small, but they really can make a big impact. So even just making sure that your loved one is engaging socially on a regular basis, making sure they're eating, you know, proper meals, and making sure they're getting their medication. Those little things can go a really long way. And caregivers, they're being, again, pulled in all different directions. And so having that extra layer of support of in-home care can just help complete that I like to talk about it like a circle of care around the care recipient, you know, and that's going to include family members and the healthcare professionals, but also could it include in-home care to help that person, again, just enhance their independence and keep them at home, even if it's another 6 months or a year. Again, that's where a lot of people want to be.
And so folks are probably wondering now, what does this type of service cost?
That is always the question. And it is primarily a private pay service at this point. We at Home Instead, we have a whole advocacy team that's working on, can we get creative with funding options? But you'll see home care services as an hourly rate. And that's going to depend on the level of need of the individual. But we see it range, at least in the Omaha metro area, anywhere from, you know, $24, $25 upwards of $30, $32. Again, depending on what the person needs on an hourly kind of that rate. But there are different funding options out there that families can consider looking into. A long-term care insurance plan, if an individual has that, or if the individual was a veteran, they might qualify for veterans assistance. So there are some other options out there for paying for this type of care.
And you know, right off the cuff, people might think, oh my gosh, there's no way we can afford that. Mm-hmm. And you've really driven home the benefits of home care. But I would imagine you do have people telling you that, gosh, Lakeland, this all sounds great, but we really can't go down that path. Mm-hmm. What would you tell them?
You know, it's such an individual decision as a family. And so you really have to kind of do that cost analysis and kind of weigh the pros and cons. You know, if your loved one really just needs assistance with medication, is it worth uprooting them from their home to pay that kind of monthly fee for an assisted living facility? Or could you try in-home care? It might seem like a big cost kind of when you look at it by hour, but if you kind of figure out, you know, could we try it for 20 hours a week for a couple months and see what kind of difference that makes? You might find the value in it. And we find families getting really creative. Maybe it's the adult children all kind of pitch in and help, kind of give it as a gift certificate to their loved one, because sometimes it is the older adult that sees that cost and thinks, no way. But the adult children, again, their lives are busy. They want to be there for mom or dad, but maybe not are able to always do so. So they might be willing to also kind of chip in and help pay for that. But then there's also, you know, like Medicaid waiver. Some families might qualify for in-home care services. Maybe it's homemaker services, that sort of thing. So contacting your local area agency on aging is also a great resource.
Awesome. What are some other outlets out there for caregivers that you can think of, either in partnership with home care or just to help them? You know, we talked about the isolation earlier and things like that. Other outlets that you can think of?
Yeah, well, especially when you think of dementia family caregivers, there's a lot of emotions that go into that caregiving journey, because you're watching your loved one decline, you're seeing them exhibit dementia-related behaviors that maybe they never exhibited before. And so finding a support group of some sort, whether it's through the Alzheimer's Association or even Home Instead, we have a Facebook page, and I do a monthly caregiver chat about various dementia-related topics. Just tuning in to learn from others, that can be very helpful. Everyone's situation is different, but there's enough similarities that, you know, if you can find a caregiving community to come alongside you through that journey, it's going to make you feel less alone. I know when you're in it, you probably feel very alone, but if you look up and look around, there's many millions of people caring for individuals living with dementia. So that is a great support. Home Instead also partners with HFC. We have a dementia relief grant that you could apply for. So again, if the finance side of home care seems a little burdensome, applying for a grant, and I can provide you, Kathy, with some of these links to include with this podcast. And again, that local area agency on aging is another great resource.
Awesome. Okay, we've got about 30 seconds, less than 30. How do people get a hold of you, Lakeland?
Well, you can visit homeinstead.com. You can look up the Home Instead office nearest you by doing a quick zip code search. You can also connect with me on LinkedIn. We also have some active Facebook pages and some additional support websites, caregiverstress.com and helpforalzheimersfamilies.com. That last one is where you can apply for that grant. But there's lots of great resources on those websites that are helpful to family caregivers in managing all these challenges that they might be facing.
What a valuable resource you are. Thank you so much for joining us. And to my husband, Mike, for making us sound so good. And of course, to all of you for listening to The Art of Aging, a podcast to encourage independence and peace of mind by informing, educating, and celebrating you. I'm Kathy Wyatt-Poholsky, inviting you to join us again as we will be posting new segments every 2 weeks. Till then, may you find meaning in each and every moment, hence discovering what I believe to be the true art of aging.